Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5. Store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like.
Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and you've stumbled upon episode 267 of the Just Us Geeks podcast. You're probably slightly confused, but we'll get there in just a second. Do me and yourself a favor. Go to Facebook.com/JustUsGeeks. Give us a like over there. Twitter and Instagram at JustUsGeeks. Easy to follow. Our Facebook group, Jugheads Incorporated. Go get all up in there. And leave us a review on iTunes if this isn't the worst thing you've heard today. We won't talk about last week. Totally fine. Totally fine. All right, Logan Barnes does not join us this week, but one Ian McAnally does.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica, every time. And one James Trenton.
Hi.
How's your band doing there, Kevin? Scrantonosity 2.
Do not go and vote for Scrantonicity. Vote for Scrantonicity 2.
Scrantonicity 2. Well, we happen to have the lead singer from Scrantonicity here with us this week.
No.
One Matt Wyatt himself.
Yay! What's up? What's up, boys?
Yeah, hey,
there we go.
Yeah.
Got to give him.
Hey, yes,
got to give him the
yes,
little
sir.
All hell state there.
Give me some of that right there, Bulldog fan.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Rebel fan. Ian.
This, get, come on, do it.
I can't. Oh. I just can't. I can't. No,
it's
I'm kidding.
Okay.
I totally
oh.
can't.
Shut
totally
up.
Can.
There
totally
you go.
Can. That
now
almost hurt my
I
heart.
Totally can. And we don't care about the Bama fan.
He's got plenty to celebrate on his own.
I was going to say, I think we made a new fight song for our national championship trophies,
you know, you see how he went and scratched his forehead like that? Like if he was pretending like he had a national championship ring that he was just
exactly.
trying to flash to everybody.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Well,
it's
they issue them one.
I'm going to get one.
Yeah, I think they've got enough for every fan now. Yeah. So,
well,
yeah.
This year's championship rings look a little different. It has a C on it, and it's purple and orange.
It's definitely you got to go to a different school to get that one. Yeah. If they had only won. Then I could have gotten that Walmart replica, and it would have been great.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
And Ole Miss would have a lot more of them. There you go. Yeah.
We should have got a Dabo.
You should have. So Logan isn't with us this week.
Boo
Logan.
So
why are we
disappointed
that?
Yeah,
that Logan isn't here?
Matt's upset.
Matt is very upset that Logan is not here.
You know, it's not that he. It's not that he is my favorite on the podcast. It's just that.
Wait, hold up, Matt. Who is your favorite?
It's
not Logan.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
It's like
Logan.
The rest is like a three-way tie with other guests that appear, not us, but just
it's
guests.
It's just that I brought gifts specifically for you, Logan, and you're not here. So
Logan.
That sucks for Logan. Logan's not here.
Is now a good time for me to go ahead and kind of hand out a gift?
Sure do that. Yeah, Matt's joining us this week. We're going to talk about The Office, the long-awaited Office episode we've been waiting to talk about.
So first things first, right?
Yes.
One of the things that I looked for today was a mug that I could, you know, put the world's best boss on for everyone here.
Oh, nice.
But here's what I found out. Walgreens and Kroger in Tupelo don't sell blank mugs.
Blank mugs.
So you get a styrofoam.
Yes, sir.
Everybody gets a
yes, sir.
A world's best boss.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Styrofoam
I'm going to just take Logan's too.
Take Logan's for him, and I've got one also, and that's my squiggly handwriting.
That is even better.
I think we might have a new cover photo for the
yes we certainly do.
So we have that,
oh my gosh,
so everybody
that is my favorite
gets a cup, a styrofoam cup. It says world's best boss on it.
And that's
now,
awesome.
We're not done.
Oh goodness.
Okay, great.
This
how can he top
official,
this
Dunder Mifflin paper.
This is actually Dunder Mifflin paper.
It's not cardstock.
No. The cardstock had a watermark that was a little bit perverted.
Oh,
they've
right.
had to recall.
Yeah, they had to do the recall on that. Right.
And so this is and this
is great.
There is no watermark on this.
No.
I have to say, I consulted the governor.
The governor of Audio Technical Ministries of JustusGeeks.com. He went all in to ask the gov how to do gift giving here.
Yes, I consulted. And again, I'm not telling Logan what I got specifically for him.
Good.
Now, the last thing is this. What's things, okay?
This is the best.
Do you guys remember the episode of The Office where Michael went to speak to Ryan's business school?
Yes.
Remember, right?
Business
The 100 grand.
Right. Tear your pages out.
You guys have been doing this podcast a long time.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan, and I've told you that I am.
And we appreciate it.
And I listen. Look, I'm in the audio business. It's how I make a living.
Yeah,
I listen to as much as I can.
Yeah.
And you guys are one of the few podcasts that's never boring.
No, we're not.
Never boring.
We're never
Even
boring.
When we are, we're somehow not.
So that said, I don't know. I have no idea if you're making money.
I'm pretty sure the poop episode was very boring.
Yeah, no.
Okay. It wasn't boring.
I got
telling you from my perspective, it was hilarious, actually. But I don't know if you're making money. It's none of my business. I just would like to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
That if you keep it up, I think someday you may have a payday.
Oh.
Yes. And finally,
oh my God, yes. This is the best.
In the future, again, keep it up. Not just a payday, but you might make $100,000.
Nice.
So
this man brought payday bars and $100,000 bars.
I actually like $100,000.
I do too.
And official Dunder Mifflin paper.
Yes.
And you can take
this. This is like
on.
The greatest thing ever.
Matt Wyatt has been promoted to the assistant to the regional podcast host.
And there's one last gift.
Oh goodness.
This this is the last thing. This has nothing to do with Dunder Mifflin. And then I'm turning the show back over to you guys because I'm really here just to listen.
Okay.
You just wanted to hear it earlier.
When I was on the first time, I realized that James is a big fan of mine.
Yes,
very much so.
Yeah.
And so as I was sitting in a parking lot out here today, I remembered I had something in my console that he might want.
Oh goodness.
Okay, this
is it a speeding ticket?
You can have those two.
You are
like,
now Matt Wyatt.
You will now pay for this.
This is my my media pass from the 2013 Egg Bowl when Dak Prescott led the comeback against Bo Wallace and the Rebels.
Oh.
That's my press pass from that game.
It's funny how we were talking about that game just
the fumble.
You can have that.
I can have this.
You can have it. And I don't care. You can do whatever you want with it. It's not worth anything. It will not get you in a game.
Well, I get tickets to the games.
Yeah. But still, that's awesome.
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's from the 2013 Egg Bowl. And it's there, so I'm thinking, you know, you might want that. So
thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Hail State.
Hail State. Mm.
That is amazing.
That's awesome.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm happy
now. You're going to turn red again.
I am going to turn red.
And I'm actually going to use.
You do it. You're a world's best boss. Oh, my gosh.
Can we get Richard on and he can give me his press pass?
Any of the other Egg Bowls?
You can get.
No.
Yeah.
You want a press pass from the Egg Bowl that
Zach pressed 2 years ago? Yeah.
This last year. Not
this last
one.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Yep.
Could have gotten you in the stands for that spring game a couple weeks ago when four people showed up.
Mm. Man, that was tough.
Deflating.
I saw the replay of that on TV at Mike's the other night and was like, holy crap, there's nobody there.
Well, when you surround yourself in controversy, guess what? You're gonna deflate your fan base. That's what's going to happen.
That's fine. They'll be fine. They'll be totally fine.
In like another decade, yes.
They're losing five games, but they'll be fine.
In like another decade, we'll have another resurgence, and then we'll get put
back
in our place
again. There's always the Grove.
Yeah,
there
never,
is.
Never lose the
Unless
party.
Somebody
never
sets it on fire.
Yeah, that's no. fine. Well, it won't be James. It could be. It could be. Could be other folks. It won't be you, James. Oh, Matt White, you totally win for best
guest
ever and best guest ever.
Yeah. Good.
So
yeah.
if you are ever
Up
on
yours,
the
Plunk and Marsh
and yeah, if here is the here is the challenge. If you're ever a guest on this show ever in the future, you now have duties to fulfill.
Yeah.
By bringing us stuff.
Yeah. You got to pay homage.
Yeah, Matt has set the bar very high.
I want my gift tax.
The highest, the bar can be. Oh, my gosh. So, The Office. I mean, this is one of those things we've been talking about for... How long have we been talking about it?
Well, I mean, it ended in, like, what, 2009? No, it ended in 2012.
Yeah, 2012. I still have
2009 is when I first started watching it.
I still have a private, unfinished post on the website that nobody can see that was, like, way too personal after I wrote it. Was my official goodbye to The Office. I was like...
Really?
I was like, I can't... I just needed to type that, I think. Mm-hmm. I was going to put it out there, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
I thought it had a strong ending.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the ending in a bit, but...
Never saw it.
The ending of it.
A lot of people quit after Steve Carell left.
That was me.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't, though. Because the Robert California season was... It wasn't as good as the rest of the series, but it was still... It had enough good stuff in it to keep you watching.
Yeah.
And then the last season when, California was gone... And, it was the main crew.
I will say this about The Office. It is one of the most complete shows of all time.
It's difficult
of all
for
time.
A show. How many seasons did it
Nine.
Go?
Nine.
All right. So your main character, the what the show was built around, left around season
He left after season
six,
seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
And then you carried on for, another couple seasons.
And like you say, it wasn't bad.
No.
It wasn't bad.
It was different.
There's a lot of good stuff about season 8 and season 9.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd never watched it. I'm going to. I need to.
Yeah.
You really
it's
should.
Always been kind of a thing.
And it has one of the best finales.
Oh,
the,
my gosh.
The only part of The Office that I ever thought was not good was for a little while following Michael Scott leaving. It waffled a little bit with all the guest stars and, and kind of that.
And, it was almost like as you watched it after that, you were kind of as a viewer, you were wondering in your own head, where are they going? Is this going to be permanent?
Where are they going?
So those first few episodes after he leaves, watching it through a different lens than you're used to watching it anyway.
Well,
it was probably
Will Ferrell. And it was just way different having Will Ferrell as the boss. And then, he gets put into a coma, and then you're like, wait, what?
Well, and that...
Jim Carrey shows up talking about the Finger Lakes. And
I forgot the name of the lakes. the Finger Lakes, eh? The show as a whole, though, I mean, everything about it, even if you weren't just like a biggest fan of like post-Michael Scott... The pre-Michael Scott, the character development, the relationships that you personally built with those characters got you through it long enough to be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What are we going to do here? And for me, did you watch The Office, the European Office before?
Not before.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. I watched it after I started watching this version
of curiosity.
The Office. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what I did as well. And see, I started watching The Office early on. I mean, season one, season two. And my wife and I, we were not married yet. We were dating, and we were working at the TV station in Tupelo. So we had this schedule where we're getting off of work every night at 11, and we're the only people in Tupelo awake at 11 every night.
Yes, you are.
So we would have taped The Office because we worked through it, and we'd go home and...
And watch it.
Wow, and so
taped it?
That
I was about to say, did you actually tape
it? No, DVR.
Tape
it? Sorry,
okay.
It was
DVR. It's not that long ago.
No.
He taped it.
Taped it? Tell us about this tape.
It's like, I haven't taped anything since 2001.
Actual tape? No, DVR. And so we'd go back and watch it together. So it was something that we kind of had in common.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are now, not quite, but pushing a decade of, being married now.
Wow.
And look, 2017, that's our, I'll move another TV in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put, whoever it is, Dora the Explorer on for our daughter on this TV.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of watches it but doesn't listen because we've got Apple TV going over here and yes. we watch The Office. And it just...
See how smart this guy is?
He's so smart.
Two TVs.
I know, right?
Genius!
It was kind of...
double the entertainment.
It was something that... It was a show and time that we spent together we had in common. It was really important
I know a lot of people who...
Oh, my wife and I did that.
Yeah, that's... I mean, like, Emily and I, our relationship wasn't built around it, but man, I'm going to tell you, like, we stopped our entire lives to watch Jim and Pam get married.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big deal. Yes, it was.
We didn't start watching as it aired until, like, season 7.
Yeah.
But we watched the first 6 seasons on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
and then it was halfway through season 7, and so we got it on Hulu because that's back when Hulu was free and
not crappy.
Yeah, and you could still get new content from it.
We got Fargo.
We did Hulu, and then we started watching it as it airs, and we were living in Oxford. Oh, it was horrible.
There's nothing to do.
Side story, anybody that would come into the theater that had like a Mississippi State credit card or something, we'd let in, we gave them all kinds of free. We were like, we're so sorry you're here.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
We feel you.
Come on in here, girl.
But that last season, because the last season was airing as we were living down there.
Hand me a sitting there. Yeah, there we go.
And the way that they aired it with all the breaks and the pauses in between that last season, it was killer.
Yeah.
Because they do an episode, take 3 weeks off. Do an episode, take 3 weeks off.
Yeah, that's tough.
And they justified it because, like, half the last season, the episodes were double episodes. And the finale was 2 hours long.
Yeah. I tell you, like, we did. We stopped our lives to watch The Office. I mean, I don't know. And I'll say this when we start talking about the end. The ending of The Office, I think people probably feel weird about it. They're not sure how they feel about the ending. For me, the ending of The Office, I was really tense about because I was like, why have they waited until now to mess with Jim and Pam's relationship? This is a show that, like, I have been in this relationship with them. My wife and I have been in this, like, relationship with Jim and Pam, and, like, you're trying to mess with us now?
Yeah.
No way. But
everybody knew going in that it wasn't going to end with them getting divorced. Like, it just couldn't.
No. Well, I mean, it could have.
If they wanted it to be a happy ending, they couldn't, because Jim and Pam were the perfect couple.
I know. They still are.
It's like Erin was the perfect girl for
Andy.
Yeah. Went blank on him.
Riddick, dick, de doo.
But I don't know why they killed that off.
Big tuna.
Big haircut.
For me, if we're gonna start at the beginning, I think that, like,
a good place to start.
Yeah. I think that... I'm like you, Matt. I came upon the British Office after I started watching the Americanized Office. It's just not the same.
Not the same. Had you seen the British version first, you would feel differently about it. But now, having seen the American version, it's hard to go back and kind of invest yourself in the other one.
You know, it was the format of the show was so different than anything I'd ever seen, really. And I think that a lot of audiences had ever seen.
Yeah,
it took them 4 seasons to really develop a solid audience.
Now, and on that note, okay, so like I say, go back on Netflix, you can watch all these seasons. If you go back right now and watch the pilot, what is amazing is how much was crammed into that pilot of that show.
22 minutes, they crammed a lot into it.
I mean, of storylines that were still going on and being developed 4 and 5 seasons into the show. Gosh. Who is obviously, you know, manager of the Stanford branch. He's mentioned in the pilot episode. They talk about that whole scenario. Jan's in the pilot, but they mention his name. He's not in it, but they mention his name. You're talking about something that doesn't really take place 3-4 seasons down the road, whatever that is. That's just one example, but that...
Season three is when they introduced
Josh. Yeah, yeah.
So that pilot, it's really interesting. If you go back and watch it, which I think a lot of people that are big fans of the show right now, very seldom are they going to go all the way back and watch the pilot. You'll really be blown away how much they crammed into and caught and kind of put on display what they were about to do.
I wonder if it was totally intentional, or if they were like, oh crap, this thing has legs, let's see where it goes. I'm going to say it was intentional because of the writers behind the show.
Yeah, the writers, like, just about anything that happened in that show was set up, like ways before
the long con.
Yeah, it was. The whole show was set up like that.
So, does anybody remember Angela when I can't remember what the scenario was, but somebody asked her what her favorite song was, and she said,
"Little Drummer Boy."
Okay. The very first episode, what is Dwight Schrute humming?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's
say, but if you go into later seasons, I think it's like season 8. She when they no, it's not season 8, it's season 4 or 5 when Karen's there and they do the two separate Christmas parties and they have karaoke Christmas. She's singing Little Drummer Boy.
Right. Are the Christmas party episodes like
the cringiest best things on earth?
Are they really?
I think so.
The first season is just so cringeworthy just because of how awkward Michael is. And it takes you a whole season. Well, and the first season, just 6 episodes. It just takes you a while to get used to
him,
how stupid he is. And once you get used to it, you're like, okay, this is a great show.
Okay, but, and so the first one, so help me out. On the first one, is that the one where they're doing, you know, the game and he's bought the iPod?
It's early because Ryan is
he's a temp.
It's before Ryan goes to New York, so it's like season 2 or 3.
Yeah, I think
two or
so.
Three
early. Pretty early.
I'm looking it up.
Okay, and then you've got one of the like just scenes within a Christmas episode is when he can't figure out which one of the waitresses is that he
oh,
is.
Oh, and he marks
he
her.
He marks
yeah.
her.
It's after he's broken up with not Jan. Who's his realtor?
Yes. Who is his
real wife? Carol.
Carol,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Carol. Okay, that's his real wife?
Yes, they're actually married. Yes, married. That's okay. Steve Carell's wife. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that either.
Carol breaks up with him because he photoshopped himself into vacation pictures with her ex-husband and used it as a Christmas card and then wanted to take her to Sandals, Jamaica. It's all inclusive.
It's all inclusive.
So Jamaica's largest freshwater pool.
Oh, my God. It's season 2 is Christmas party. It's Michael disobeys the $20 secret Santa limit and buys Ryan an iPod.
$400
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And they set that up, too, because the teapot, the note inside the teapot,
he
does not get revealed
her.
Until the very last. Well,
I'm going to tell you
the last season.
I'm going to tell you
that's incredible.
Frickin' Jim is the smoothest cat
Isn't
of all
he
time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He is like. I'm glad that I was already married when we started watching this. You must have pulled off something Jim worthy.
No,
but man, like Jim Halpert is the standard at which all men should probably be judged.
No.
To be really honest,
no.
I mean
nobody's like that. Well, no man.
I'm telling you, if you can get close, you.
What was the
girls
reaction?
Get you a man.
What was the reaction in your house when he walks in? The lights are dim, and he kisses her for the first time.
I yelled.
Second time.
Yes!
Second time.
Yes, after.
Oh, second time.
After the first time they kissed was in Chili's.
Yes, the Chili's
episode.
Drunk.
Oh, that's right.
It was the Dundies.
It's the Dundies, yes.
The very first Dundies.
Right. Yes. She was hammered.
She was hammered, and she kisses him after she wins.
They actually kissed twice.
Did they?
They do.
This
because,
is the greatest Dundies
yes,
ever.
Because when they reference it again, they go back to that scene, and it's like a different angle, and they're saying different things like, she put the moves on him. Mm-hmm. They kissed twice.
But she was drunk, so.
Yeah.
And then the second time was when.
At the casino night.
She's in the office, and he goes up there, and like he does it right before he's about to leave the branch.
Yeah, and he leaves because of her.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I still, like, that is one of my top moments from The Office. It's like, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah,
that's the end of season 2 to start of season 3.
Yeah. They left us on a cliffhanger there, which is they figured out what they were doing real quick.
And it's such a big jump between those two seasons because when they come back, Pam's no longer engaged to Roy.
Yeah.
And Jim is bicycling to work because Josh does.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you, I think that is one of the things that I like so much about The Office is that they follow that natural time progression like we do so that when you come back for the next season, it's like, oh, things have happened.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, like the first episode of, I think it's like 6 or 7, when they had the interns. It was the first time they had interns for a while, and they were like, oh, this summer we had interns, and then they kind of do some flashbacks. Yeah. And They just
Dwight Jr.
No, that's the last thing. I'm talking about the time before that when they got interns. Mm. I think it was like seven. But I don't know.
And they're gone. Yeah.
Yeah. They did like one episode with interns, but that was their excuse for that episode to explain what happened that summer. It's like, here's what the interns did.
The thing, sure. And I guess the thing about The Office that is so great is that I feel like it's pretty much always going to hold up.
Yeah.
To a rewatch. I don't either.
How does it do that, though?
That's, I don't know.
I can't really put my finger on it, but
it's story. Got a lot of heart. It's got a story to tell.
Well, I think maybe because there are always going to be offices. People are always going to work in offices that they hate, in cube environments that they hate, and it's always going to be relevant.
Nobody at my job gets along that well. Nobody. Nobody.
Well, and
I work alone.
It's almost like you've got so – you like every character. Now, you've got your favorite, but if you watch the show, you're pretty much interested in any storyline they jump into with any character, right?
Yes.
And so it's almost like you're watching a million shows as opposed to just, one each week. And so going back and watching it again, I think that's another reason, is it's kind of so multi-directional, or can be.
It can. Like, you suddenly, like, it's like James was saying earlier, you realize, they realized, hey, we should probably start focusing more on these little fringe characters like Kevin Malone and Creed Bratton when they bring in Andy Bernard, I mean.
The interesting thing about Creed was, I think his real name is Creed Bratton.
Creed Bratton, yes. And that's his real name.
I believe the story behind him was he was hired on originally as just an extra.
Yeah, like, he was an extra.
Non-speaking role, just somebody that was supposed to be in the background. And they wrote him into one episode where they gave him a couple lines, and then they just liked
him. And people loved
him. Toby was the same way. Toby was a writer on the show, obviously. And they did one episode where they introduced him as the HR guy, and apparently an NBC exec saw the episode and said, I want to see more of that guy.
He's actually a really freaking brilliant comedian.
Yeah.
He really is. But he's funny. Like, and I hate him. I hate his face. I don't like to look at him. I just like, no.
That person he is.
They say,
they
say,
no. I hate so much about the things you choose to be.
They said that he, the way he is, Toby, is actually the same, exactly the way his,
that's the way
the person is. Whoever is, I can't remember his name.
If you hadn't put me on the spot about it, I could tell you. I think the fun thing about The Office.
Toby.
Yeah, I think the fun thing about The Office is, now that's over, now like we're learning a lot of interesting things about it. I was listening to Alec Baldwin's Here's the Thing a couple of weeks ago, where he interviewed Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
And they were talking about their life cycles in TV. And Nick, like, he went and read for the role of Dwight.
Did he?
Yes.
Really?
Several times.
And Rainn Wilson wanted to be Jim. He read for Jim like two or three times.
Yeah, like the folks that they had in mind for some of these characters that made it to like final cuts, super interesting to see how they actually went with the show. But it's funny, in that interview, Michael Mullally was talking about how Nick was like the set husband for Will and Grace. He was just always kind of there. And she said, like, in a couple of episodes, you can just hear him off to the side go when it was like a live studio recorded thing. She was like, look, you're going to have to like go get a job. So he's going and doing all these callbacks. And he said it's so interesting because, like, he and Rainn Wilson would show up at everything. They would be there at every audition for the same thing over and over and over. And he said, he's like, when I found out that he got that part, I was just like, good. I can stop seeing him at places. The way that it broke down, like, I can't see anybody else as Jim Halpert. I can't see anybody else as Dwight Schrute. I mean, and it's almost a huge fault of theirs, because like we were talking before we started about Backstrom.
Yeah.
Great show. Rainn Wilson, fantastic actor. He's always going to be Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. Super is one of my favorite movies.
Mine too.
And he's in it and is amazing.
Yeah.
you know, but it's
almost see him as anything else.
No,
now,
it's almost like Jason Alexander. Jason Alexander, fantastically talented actor of both stage, screen, and television.
And has to
block people daily on Twitter and be like, look, I'm not George. You know, I'm Jason Alexander. Go watch TV if you want George. Same thing with Rainn Wilson. I mean, he kind of embraces it a little bit better, but you know, I mean,
there's going to be a period of time, I think, when he's going to stop embracing it, and he's just probably going to get really tired.
I don't know. He seems like a real laid back dude.
Right now, he's got a design for a T-shirt that he's selling. Yeah. It's a limited time T-shirt, and the proceeds go to like earthquake relief.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's embracing it and using it to like raise funds and stuff for good. So, you know, I think he's going to embrace the Dwight Schrute of it all for a while.
For me, I think the casting is one of the reasons that it holds up so well and it's going to stick around forever. Matt, why do you think it's going to stick around forever?
You know, I think it sticks. I'm showing the guys the T-shirt. Yeah. The Rainn Wilson.
It's just the best. You know, and look at his
Bears.
Look at his dumb
Galactica
face. I love him so much.
Rainn Wilson T-shirt.
He would be the best dude to hang out with, I think.
I really think he would. You ought to follow him on Instagram if you don't.
He's a great follow.
He really is. And, you know, he posts a lot of videos there in a lot of third world countries and trying to help people and build homes and stuff. Yeah. So he's doing some work.
When Instagram first featured the messaging option, you could just like message anybody for like 2 days. And I had like a very brief interaction with Rainn Wilson. I just was like, you can message anybody. Who should I message? I'll message Rainn Wilson. And so I was like, what's up, man? He was like, not much. What about you? Like, I was like, cool. He was like, he was like, I'm eating a candy bar. I was like,
it's delicious.
Cool, man. All right. Have a good one. Yeah. Shut that mess down real fast.
One of my favorite things about The Office is the throwaway lines. There's the episode where Dwight gets a concussion. They're taking him to the hospital and they're loading him up like they're getting him in and Michael is like, hey, where are we going? And Jim says Chuck E. Cheese, and Michael just under his breath, I'm so sick of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
Or when he just walks by and they're planning a party, he just screams, mint chocolate chip.
Yes. Michael Scott is like the guy that you don't want to be, but the guy that you also kind of want to be.
Right.
Just
you
just want to
be around him a little bit.
Yeah, I would love to be around him.
Yeah, you know, there's what? They're planning the Christmas party at some point, and he walks in the room where they're planning it, and there are two women at the table and one guy, and he walks in and goes, or three women, one guy, he goes, ho, 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 pimp. Yeah. Throwaway line. Laugh. Oh. You know, you're watching it now on Netflix. You rewind to see him do it again.
Yeah, which is great, thank God.
And they're cold openings, too. Like,
yeah, it's great. Speaking of Kevin, the Kevin brings in the big pot of chili.
The big pot of chili. He's explained. He's like, first you roast the peppers.
It is the nastiest thing on earth.
That he just
it
falls
is because
he's trying to scoop it back into the pot.
I sent that in our group message the other day. Logan said something about, well, I'm Kevin. So I was like, in Kevin Office GIF on Giphly. And that is like the prominent one. They have every step of that broken down from the fall to the flopping around in it to the scooping to him just sitting there in the chili sack. Sadness.
It's gross.
I've watched the guy on YouTube. He's got a cooking show and he cooks stuff, like uses recipes from TV shows. And like he'll try it exactly how they explain it in the show. And if it doesn't work, you know, he'll work on it until it works.
Yeah, until it works.
And he said that he's made the Kevin chili and he went through all the steps and he said it was actually fantastic.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Okay. So what about characters that you... Are there any that you didn't like or you felt like they could do without? Now, and this is not me saying this is one, but I'm just going to throw this name out there and see what your reaction is. Todd Packer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love, what's the guy's name? David Koechner. I love him. I think he's a super super funny guy. But, like, I think he's a throwaway character because they didn't do anything with him.
They really did.
They tried to get him. Well, they ended up getting him fired, but they tried to get him fired by sending him down to Florida.
Well, and they try, and they just randomly bring him back for the Saber stuff.
Yeah,
and right. It's just like,
and then they got him fired, and then they randomly bring him back to give everybody diarrhea.
Yeah,
you know, and the one episode with him that was kind of like, you know, not built around him, but he played a role in the storyline, sort of, was the. Well, it was the episode where, at one point, he says something about an ugly chick in a story, and he says like her, and points to Phyllis.
Yeah. That's the first episode he showed up on.
Is that the first one?
Yeah,
first one.
Yeah.
He points like to her. Phyllis, and Michael has been counseled, you know, by Jan and others, and that's when you had the scene where he says no, you know, and he says I think. Phyllis is beautiful or whatever, and he says, you know, the only thing I'm worried about right now is
getting a boner.
Getting a boner. You know, so that was one where
Oh my gosh.
Todd Packer kind of played a little role in driving it where it was.
Not much, though. Yeah. And I
was going to say, I don't remember the guy's real name, but they called him Frodo. It was one of Ryan's buddies in New York.
Oh,
the
little guy.
The little cokehead.
Holy crap. Where they go and they're in the club with him. Dwight's just like, he's just staring at him. He's like,
what did he ask him something like if he had magical powers or something?
He's like, do you have magical powers? But he
shows up in like three or four episodes.
Does he really?
I have two. I have
in the background.
I have two that I think are. One is the character that Chris Gethard plays. I think Chris Gethard is a funny guy. He has a humongously successful podcast. But he's the guy that Dwight hires to kill.
Andy. Andy.
Yeah. He just talks like this.
Is it?
That's Chris Gethard.
Is it Andy or is it?
No.
It's not Andy. It's
the senator.
No, it's
Oscar.
Oscar.
Yeah, it's to break
she
his.
To kill
yeah,
Oscar to because kill Oscar. Oscar's. You know,
knows about the senator. Yes.
No, he's having an affair with the senator.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, I think he's kind of a throwaway, and Valerie. She is a super throwaway character. That the whole relationship they tried to build with Daryl, just like. No, I just it didn't do it for
didn't
me.
Didn't work.
No, not for me. I don't know. Ian, do you have a throwaway?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. Like, I thought Todd. I actually like Todd Packer.
You did like
it was
Todd.
Good. You know, I know he and Bob Odenkirk. The episode where they went to Bob's office.
Yeah, that's when Pam's interviewing for us to be a secretary.
I think
Philly.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
and he's just like he's like, oh, I like this, and he starts quoting TV shows and
I think the reason or something I saw weird. The reason that they had like Todd Packer and Bob Odenkirk's character on there was because both of them actually originally auditioned for Michael Scott.
That's what I was about to say.
They were originally top runners for that role.
Yeah,
because
it came down between Steve Carell and Bob Odenkirk.
Well, I think Steve Carell had signed on for a show that was on Fox, maybe. Maybe that the reason that he couldn't do it, and then it got axed pretty quick, and then he
as
came
Fox
back.
Does.
And,
as Fox is prone to do. Thank
and then,
you,
of course,
Fox.
After that, it was
A lot of those guys that they ran in as the regional manager, it on some level they had interest in or read for the part of Michael Scott before the show got going. I just can't see it without Steve Carell. I can't.
It's hard to imagine.
I mean, it was when he left his goodbye episode, I remember getting misty-eyed just thinking,
this
is it. This is the end.
Right.
He shows up in the very last episode, and I love the line because he just stands there, doesn't say anything for like the first three scenes that he's in. And then they get him alone, like it's after the wedding, and he's just standing there smiling. He goes, it's like my kids grew up and married each other.
which is the best. It is the freaking best. We were when he goes off to leave with Holly, which is almost
super sad.
Well, it's almost a better love story than Jim and Pam.
Almost
because Michael, you just don't think there's anybody out there for Michael, and then he finds her and he loses her and then he gets her back, you know. And the final thing that you think you're going to get to see Michael Scott mouth on TV is that's what she said. You're like, this is the most brilliant thing of all time. And then they bring him back for the finale.
Yeah.
I just wept like a baby for a long time. It's like, yes, they have done it. They have finally done it.
Even his actual goodbye was just like sad because, you know, Pam wasn't at the office that day. And so Jim like goes and gets her, drives her to the airport
to meet him.
And she takes the microphone off so we don't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And she's in the terminal and you can tell they're having a heartfelt conversation. She hugs him. And then she like cuts to a scene of her just staring out the window watching the plane take off.
Yeah.
And it's just super sad because you're like, oh God, he's gone.
It's super sad, but it's like, it really is. It's one of those, it's like.
You're like, oh, I'm happy for the character. You know, it's a good ending for him.
What an accomplishment that is to get you to that point as the viewer.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you go back episodes and seasons earlier, you really would never have believe that you as a viewer would be emotionally that way about anything to do with Michael.
No.
Right? But they smoothly wrote this thing and then able to perform it and get it done where you're totally in total belief of every emotion they're showing you on the screen. This guy who's coarse and like rude.
He has coffee breath.
Yeah.
And now you're all tied into him emotionally and don't want to see him go.
Right. Yeah. I think, though, the only thing that I really... I may be the only person on Earth who just is hung up on this. Out of all the things that they explained in the closing of the office, and they brought him back so they could have explained it some way. When they go to Nashua and he like goes and he smells her sweater and he cuts her arm off her sweater.
Yeah.
They never did anything with that. Like I would love to have seen like her reaction looking at her sweater or him like wearing it as a headband or
just the fact that she knows him and knows how weird he is.
She knew he did it.
Yeah, she's got to know. Well, she gets back and she's like, well, what happened here? And someone said, oh, Michael Scott was here. And she'd be like, oh, okay, that explains it.
But see,
but she doesn't get weirded out by it.
Yeah, see, and I think that plays into the whole relationship with Michael and Holly is that weirdness happened and they still ended up together with children, incredibly happy. It's just the fact that Dwight
and so many pictures of his children that he had to get two cell phones. He's just happy he gets a family plan.
And like the fact that like it's fine to me that Dwight and Angela end up together.
Yeah, that they should have ended up together.
They belong together just like Jim and Pam belong together, just like Michael and Holly belong together.
I still think Andy and Aaron belong together.
They do.
But Andy was such a douche that they couldn't work it out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's just got to go off for, 3 months and not call her?
Yeah.
When Andy came along, you know, the branch deal.
No, this is after Hangover.
I thought that my first impression was, this is going to ruin it for me. I don't like this guy.
Me too.
That was my and I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
I wound up
really liking him.
Really liking the character and or enjoying it.
Mm.
You know, the cell phone hidden in the
room. That is one of my favorite gifts of all time too. Just him punching that wall over and over.
He's recorded 4 parts of the harmony and synced them up for his own ringtone. It's all his voice.
But see, he even gets redemption at the end. Like,
I can just sit here and cry.
If I ever have the occasion to see Ed Helms walking down the street somewhere,
just, you're going to.
You are obligated by every means able to just riddick dick to do that man as loudly as you can.
And you know he'll do it right back to you. He just seems like that kind of guy. He would riddick dick to do right back at you.
Maybe.
Well, when you see him, let us know how it goes. Okay,
I will.
What are some of your favorite lines from characters that are not Michael or Jim, Pam, and Dwight?
I got one. Did I stutter?
Oh my gosh.
Dude,
I stutter?
He was
so
angry. That was one of the more intense
episodes. It was intense. Well, I mean, you know, he thought Ryan was trying to hit on his, you know, 14-year-old daughter.
Boy, are you out of your mind?
Because I'll help you find it.
Stanley is, like, he's one of the best and quietest characters on The Office.
I enjoy the tangy zip of Miracle Whip.
And I have a feeling he's probably really like that in real life. Just laid
I think
back.
Most of them are probably like that in real life. Well, to
I thought
degree.
What was great about Stanley is after, you know, in the last episode, because it's, what, 6 months to almost a year after the episode before the last episode?
Yeah.
And Stanley has retired and is living like on the bayou in Louisiana or Florida right, or something. Yeah. And Phyllis has that guy sitting across from him or from her. And she says, he reminds me a lot of what Stanley looked like when he first got here. And she's just like constantly feeding him, trying to fatten him up.
Yeah.
You know, the feeding thing reminded me of the, you know, of course, you had all the pranks between Jim
the nickel,
and Dwight.
The Oops. Nickel in the phone was my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. Where he slams himself. That is used to the weight of the handset.
That is the freaking best.
Because that episode, like what they did is they like listed like five pranks in a row and it just, I lost it.
He'd had enough of it.
He's like, yeah, it's like yeah, I just started like, putting a few more nickels in his headset every day until it was really heavy. And then just one day took them all out.
What the thing with those pranks is, it's like it's stuff you wanted to do to people you worked with. Yes. You just didn't have the guts to do it.
Or the time. Who has the time
To wrap an entire desk in Christmas wrapping paper?
Not an entire desk. He just boxes wrapped in Christmas paper that's not really his desk. Or move his entire desk into the women's room.
Mega desk.
Or move his entire desk 3 inches towards the water cooler every time he gets up to go to the bathroom.
I will tell you, for a period of time when we moved back from Jackson, we were like, we got furniture all over the place, and Lucy was about to be born.
Dare you drop that?
And you're the world's worst employee. And so we had our huge bed and then a small twin bed because I was getting up and going to work at a funky time. And so we just were like, let's push them together. Mega bed.
How about this one?
Hey, baby, you want to push them together?
You know, you hear that little noise on the computer. Diddle-doo. Altoid Dwight. And he takes an Altoid.
Yes.
And so for like 3 weeks, he feeds him Altoids every time. And eventually, he's trained him.
And then the he just holds his hand out.
He's just like, oh my gosh.
And Jim's like, what?
And then he's like, and then
I don't know. I just God, I have a mouth, bad taste in my mouth.
My mouth's so dry all of a sudden.
Faxes from future Dwight.
Oh, yes.
Do not drink the coffee. He swats it out of Stanley's hand. Oh, it's great.
For me, I have the Creed Bratton line with and his name. Was Creed Bratton, where he apparently killed a homeless man. And what's the other one?
We had a funeral for a bird. That was one.
We had a funeral for a bird?
There was an Andy one that I've freaking crap. Where they tell Holly that Kevin is special.
Now, here's the thing, though. Did they tell her that, or did she just come up with that?
They told her. They told her. He's special.
Don't you do that to him. You can't say that. Yeah. Oh, it's just the freaking best.
He's in front of the vending machine, and he figures out how much change he needs to get what he wants.
Good, Kevin.
That is good, Kevin.
My favorite thing is... It's Creed's blog. Creed Thoughts. The address, when he starts reading it, it's www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts.
Yeah. And so Ryan
says... I had to look that up. He's like, I just put it in a Word document and let it go. No one should have to hear these thoughts.
I don't think the internet's ready for it.
You know, I think the thing about The Office is like it's one of those things that it's still pretty relevant, and it spawned a lot of fan theories. Do you guys have any favorite fan theories about The Office and the goings on of them? There's the fan theory that Michael Scott always knew what was going on.
Yeah.
It was just an act. There's the one where Toby's actually the Scranton strangler. You know, I mean. Do you guys have any that you particularly believe in or disapprove of? I'm not sure that Toby was a Scranton strangler, but there's evidence that he could have been. There's proof that he could have been.
Really?
Yeah. This time frames worked out well for that.
Yeah, he could have been.
Yeah.
And he was obsessed with it.
Yes. And then he was on the jury for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and yeah. He could have been.
Yeah, but remember, he went to visit the guy and was strangled.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, there's an episode where, because, what's her name? The redheaded, the Brit.
Oh, Donna Noble from The Office. Yeah, that's not a real name.
I can't remember her name. But she has to go and pick him up from the hospital because he went to, because he didn't think that he was the actual strangler, so he went to talk to him in prison and was strangled.
Yeah.
And so right.
Did he get strangled because the guy knew he was missing and that he was the strangler?
He couldn't talk for like 3 weeks or something like that. He was in that neck brace and
you don't believe he
I
was
don't
a
believe he was
strangler.
A strangler. No.
No, there are lots
I'm
of
I'm not
things.
Aware it's of any
killing
fan
me
theories.
Of what that girl's None. Character name is. God, I got to look it up.
She a lot of people don't really care for her. I think she's freaking
Catherine
hilarious.
Something.
Yeah, I feel stupid. She's amazing on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The great. Dr. Donna. You know, like a lot of random folks have been on The Office. Kathy Bates, I thought, was particularly
she was
great
good.
On
she
The
was
Office.
Good.
What about the Gabe's character? Gabe.
God.
Okay, yeah, there's my throwaway.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
Don't need it, but he sure is weird, and it made some of the dynamics great.
And I love
and
him
more awkward.
In Silicon Valley, if you watch Silicon Valley.
He's Nelly Bertram.
Nelly, yes. I feel like that dude is probably just that annoying in real life.
Yeah, like it's...
He's got that show on USA. I can't even think of it now. He was really funny in it.
Really?
Yeah, it's he was like a...
Mr. Robot?
No, it's not Mr. Robot. It's, not Mr. It's, Robot. It's a comedy, but it's he's like a Mr. supporting Robot. Character,
yeah.
And he was really good in it. I think it's still going on. I can't remember.
I love him because he pretty much plays Gabe in Silicon Valley.
And Silicon Valley is one of the most underrated TV shows on television.
One of the funniest things out
freaking
there right
freaking hilarious.
If
Mike
you're not
Judge.
Watching it, you need to be watching
Mike,
that
I'm
show.
Flipping Judge.
So good.
You would like it, actually.
But yeah, You'll him in The Office, like. Though, it I just will. Seemed like...
Forced?
Yeah.
Maybe that's
yeah.
not the right word, but...
it seemed like...
He felt out of place.
Out of place.
Well, it felt like they brought him in because they knew they were going to need some character that was cringy like that because Michael was gone. And they hadn't really developed the fact that they could make Andy that way just yet. But yeah. Gabe is just... Oh, gosh.
Everybody on that show had their cringy moments, though. Like,
yeah.
Nobody was free in that show from like having a moment where they were... Just kind of weird people. I mean, what was the older redheaded lady's name?
Phyllis.
Oh, Phyllis.
No,
Meredith. Meredith.
Gosh.
Oh, you know. How many did she have?
A lot.
Yeah.
That's when.
Well, I mean, like, she couldn't keep her clothes on.
Yeah. Well, or when they had to almost fire her because she was getting steaks from the Outback guy for improper benefits. Yeah.
Oh, God. She got.
You remember when
she got rabies?
When
she got run over,
she got her hip broken.
Remember
she
got rabies.
Remember when Jim had to sign her up her butt cast, her pelvic cast.
That was when she got hit by the car.
Yeah, when Michael ran over
her pelvic cast,
and he goes, she said, "I'm going to read this later tonight."
If you go back and
gross.
Watch that,
yeah. Oh, she's so gross.
If you go back and watch that, John Krasinski actually. Autographed his actual name
on her
cast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my!
If you go
God.
Back and watch it, if you look, it's clearly him signing his own name to
That's
it.
That's great.
Do you think that it in character directions? Do you think that they ever should have brought Ryan back? Because out of all the people with like great endings, Ryan and Kelly's. Is by far the worst.
Oh yeah, like
they just leave
they abandon
the child.
A baby and they run off together.
Yeah,
and she thought she was going to Miami, Florida, and she was going to Miami, Ohio.
Stupid. she thinks she got a tapeworm for Creed.
I did not get that.
But you know, you're right. Ryan was almost like three different characters during the show, wasn't he? Like the intern. And then the douchebag,
the druggie,
and the druggie, and then what he was,
the bowling
kind of
the shoe
end.
Guy,
yeah,
right.
What size are you? Okay, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
he saw three different people. Yeah, almost.
Well, and they bring Ryan back in the weirdest places, like. You don't suspect that number one, the Michael Scott Paper Company is going to be successful.
Okay, number one, when we talk about Michael Scott Paper Company. Idris Elba was on that show
for
half a season.
Oh my gosh! And he was the biggest D-bag of all
time. Not a throwaway character. No.
Charles Minor, let's go, sir. Oh my gosh!
Right. Yeah, he stuck around for like two seasons.
Two seasons
until Michael told who was the
David
the,
Wallace
David Wallace that he would come back, but he had to like fire him.
Yeah,
and he didn't fire him. He transferred him to another branch.
Place. He's just totally gone
because at the picnic when we find out that Jim and Pam are pregnant. He's there and they're playing volleyball.
Corporates, yeah. God, Charles Minor.
Yeah, and he's got the whole hate for Jim going on,
right?
And,
for
and
no
Jim
reason.
Knows it.
Nobody like because Minor didn't like him, and when Will Ferrell came in,
Will Ferrell didn't
like him. Like he had hard time with people who were not Michael and Andy
and Jan
and Wallace.
And Wallace.
No, Jan didn't like. Well, Jan was just indifferent on everybody, really.
No, well, Jan, oh man. I think okay.
Jan liked I thought Jan liked Pam more than she liked.
As we're wrapping it up, what is the most cringeworthy episode of The Office to you?
Good, yeah.
The pilot.
The pilot is the most cringeworthy?
Just
Why?
Because of how awkward everybody is.
Okay.
It was just a completely awkward episode.
Matt.
I would say Diversity Day.
Which was, oh, that's like episode two. Oh,
episode two.
Because oh,
if
man.
You, look, if you go back and watch that now, okay. Did they put that on TV in 2017?
No.
They don't
don't think so. Probably not. Ian, what about you?
Okay.
I'll go. If
no, no, no. I know which one is mine. The episode where Jan and Michael invite everybody from the
dinner
office.
Party.
Oh, the dinner party.
That's mine, too. Yeah. she throws his Dundee. It is flat. His flat screen. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was a plasma. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was
a plasma. It was a plasma. Oh, my gosh.
It was like
gosh.
A 12-inch plasma.
It is the most awkward thing.
I could just stare at it for hours.
Do you have any idea
the effect that six vasectomies will have on him? Snip, snap.
I don't think I laughed at all during that episode. I just sat with my mouth open.
The one that she...
Jan's...
Her assistant
had that song, and she's just like swooning over it.
Yes, it's about her.
Jim stole the CD.
Tucker
or something.
Tucker, yes.
Yeah. Look at him. She's not laughing.
Yeah, Jim, you talk about him being smooth. He comes out of there with that CD, stole it.
And she's just the thing I think that is most that's probably the worst about that is how like they're fighting and she's singing that song and she's just like rubbing
made
on herself.
Me a man that one night
it is
you
the
made
most
everything right.
It is the most awkward
so
bit of
right.
TV. You guys have to cover that in the band.
You really should.
And Logan needs to sing it.
No,
it,
Logan's not.
Speaking of Logan, Logan, I cannot believe you're not here, man.
Logan,
really
you are the biggest disappointment of all
time.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the most cringeworthy.
It's pretty cringeworthy.
It is pretty cringeworthy. And because there was a contentious moment, you know, between Pam and Jan.
Right.
There was a jealous moment there or something.
Yeah. Because Pam knocked on the office door and Michael said, come in. And she walks in and she sees him naked. And he was like, why didn't you? And then Michael's like, you have to knock. And then Pam says, come in. And then he knocks again. And Pam's like, come in. And they go, see how I knocked twice?
Because, see, the thing about...
Who knocks twice?
The thing about the dinner party is that, like, we've gotten so many weird Michael Scott moments. And then we've gotten so many weird Jan moments.
Grill foot.
And
you had them together.
Yes, the George Foreman. And then they...
Oh, my God. I love the smell of bacon when I wake up.
And then they go to Sandals.
See what's so hard to understand about that.
They go to Sandals and they do all this, and then it's just like she gets fired.
Gets a boob job.
Yeah, she gets a boob job. He goes and gets a great New York slice from Sbarro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like all these weird random things happen, and then it's just like I guess they sat down and were like, what is the thing that we can do to blow this all up?
Blow it up.
We'll put all of these people in Michael's condo for a dinner party in the smallest house of all time.
Well, and that still didn't, like, they still didn't stay broken up after that. Like, they were together for a few more episodes.
They were, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't the bankruptcy deal after that?
I declare bankruptcy! Cosby's like, that's not how you do it.
No. Oh my gosh.
He runs.
He goes
and, jumps
and gets
the
on the train and the train stops moving.
He's like, stops.
No. Okay, yeah. So if those are your most cringeworthy, what are your favorite episodes? I'll give you five at the max.
My name is Kevin.
I need a
that is my name.
Pen so I can make my
they
list
call
on this
me Kevin.
Dunder Mifflin
oh,
paper.
Man.
On
that's
all
my
of them.
Name.
I will say, for me, it is when Jim and Pam first kiss.
That's a good episode.
The wedding.
Casino night.
Casino night.
The wedding.
The
is
wedding.
A two-parter.
Let's see. When the volleyball game and they find
oh,
out
yeah,
that
when
they're
when
pregnant.
They're pregnant.
The Super Bowl episode. The one after the Super
the
Bowl.
One where Stanley has a heart attack. Yeah, well, stress relief.
Yeah, stress relief. And for me, it's because that episode started out just like the most crazy way an episode of The Office could start out with. Like, here we have, like, all these funny cold opens where, like, Jim has pranked Dwight or some way. But Dwight sets the frickin' building on fire and is, like, throwing Angela's cat up into the ceiling and crap is just going.
Oscar, take Bandit.
Yeah, brr.
And it's just like, pull me up.
That one.
You're too heavy. I only weigh 92 pounds.
And the finale. I mean,
I love the finale. Such a good finale.
It is
very rarely does a show have a good finale.
And they did it right. They did the finale right, and they really made it so we don't have to know any more about
them.
You know, they wrapped that bow up and tied it so that we don't need to ever revisit that again because it'll ruin it.
Dwight, one of my favorites is the convention where where Jim walks into the hotel in the hotel room and he hears D and it's Angela in bed and he says Dwight got a hooker.
then he calls Pam and Pam's like, yeah, that's been going on for like a year.
Yeah,
you didn't know that. And you know, you had the stuff too where Michael kind of you know, misjudges the room in several conversations with Jan and Josh
yes.
all there. And so the awkwardness of all that.
Yes.
It's not an all-time favorite, but, you know, you knocked out some of my favorites. I would say I enjoy that one. I find myself going back and watching that convention episode a bunch.
That is a funny one.
I liked when Dwight got Salesman of the Year.
The speech
when he's like doing the Hitler, like banging the podium and pointing and using his arms. It's hilarious.
When they go to Canada on the business trip.
Oh, yeah.
The concierge. He doesn't know what it means.
No.
He says to me something.
They go out to the bar, and then she takes him back to her room,
Michael,
and then she kicks him out.
Well, but for a minute, Michael Scott gets a win, baby.
Yeah,
he gets a win. And then
isn't that because they sent Holly back, right?
Yes.
And so he's real sad.
Wallace gives him that trip because of that.
And because, you know, nobody else wanted to go.
But the Christmas episodes for me.
Oh, I love
I
hate
Christmas.
And I love the Christmas episodes.
You know,
Benihana Christmas.
For the reasons we mentioned.
Yes.
And, you know, the Dirty Santa, the Santa Swapper or Dirty Santa one we talked about where he gets the iPod. But just little things in that one, like, you know, Phyllis has made this nice handmade oven mitt. And he just totally disrespects it. And right in front of her, just slams it down. Said something along the other.
He gets somebody, like, he's like, don't you want it? When they're doing Dirty Christmas. And then, like, as soon as they take it, he's like, ha! Like, starts making fun of him. Like, you idiot!
Idiot.
Oh, my gosh, he's so bad.
Yeah, and the cutaways to Phyllis's face.
She's just so sad.
She's just totally dejected.
Former burlesque dancer and NFL cheerleader, by the way.
Yeah.
Seriously.
An amazing actress. And she is an amazing actress.
Yeah.
She made Inside Out for me.
Oh, yeah. She was awesome in Inside Out.
Yeah. And The OA.
The OA. She was fantastic in The OA.
Still haven't watched it.
Amazing.
You probably shouldn't. It's fun. Ian, you got any favorites?
You named a bunch. The wedding episode is great. One of my favorites for sure.
Michael's getting it with Pam's mom for a while, and we just all accepted
when they,
it.
When they reenact the YouTube wedding dance thing, I smiled and laughed and cried.
Promptly ruin with Kevin's feet in that ice thing.
Well, not only did Michael date Pam's mom, but didn't Dwight...
Oh, he wasn't dating her at that time.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but also, like, Dwight got with her cousin.
Dude, yeah. How...
The bridesmaid.
The
bridesmaid.
The one thing that that never gets explained in this entire series, it, like, Dwight pulls the best game of anybody.
When they go it's to the New Three York. Wolf t-shirt.
Yes! It's not the Three Wolf t-shirt.
I mean, what is it, though? Because they go to New York.
I'd love to know. I mean...
It's the confidence.
And he leaves them wanting more. Yeah. That's the other thing.
Because he doesn't want... He ignores them. And that's what it is.
It's the confidence.
It is the confidence.
It's the because that's what women want, James. Yeah. That's what women want, according to
like, that's what he does, though. If you watch, he ignores every woman.
Yeah, like, okay, when he's helping Pam and Jim demo Jim's parents' house... And Jim and Pam's cousin comes back, and he's like standing there in the shirt.
Oh, and his wife beater.
It is the most unattractive thing of all time, and like the most attractive female on the series at that point. That was like a random character is just like falling all over for Dwight friggin' Schrute.
Okay, and now he wasn't doing that. Like they didn't ask him to do that. She like Pam wanted the iPod that had the birth song on it.
Yes,
and he couldn't find it, but he found mold, and so he destroyed their cabinet.
Destroyed it,
but then and he had it rebuilt by like the weekend.
Yeah, but he's Dwight Schrute, so he fixed... Oh, man.
You know why he was ignoring those women in New York? He was totally preoccupied with whether or not that little guy had magical powers.
Exactly.
He really was just totally focused on that.
Do you have magical powers?
One that we probably...
Are you a hobbit?
probably should have mentioned was the time bomb, the email thing where they...
Oh, yeah.
Where if they... The strikes...
They helped him bury a horse.
Yes, the strikes where if they did stupid stuff,
It would send something to David Wallace.
No, like, to Robert California.
Oh, yeah, it was Robert California. Because they had to have a certain percentage on their sales.
Yeah, they went out to eat cabbage pie with Dwight and help him bury the horse. And you think, well, that's it. Dwight's finally done it. And then he's wearing their little hat.
He stops at the last second. Yeah. And he's like, he admits that he likes them.
I know that was like a total setup for Schrute Farms that never happened, but still, that's a great episode.
Yeah. I wish they would have done Schrute Farms.
I do too.
Would have been a really good show because that last season, you know, they did a lot of episodes out on Schrute Farms.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed those.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, and you know, when he took Ryan out to Schrute Farms, that was pretty early on.
Yeah,
Ryan
like,
was the temp.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people talk about that episode, but at the time, that was great. And I mean, it was a little bit different because up until that point, I mean, most of your episodes had all been inside the office.
Yeah, right. Anytime they go outside the office for like Pie Day.
Pie Day was in the lobby.
No, that was Pretzel Day.
The
pie stand.
Oh, yeah, on the bus.
Yeah.
Laverne's Pies.
Laverne's Pies.
Fixed also.
I wish I had a t-shirt of that. Hey, I'll make a t-shirt of that.
One of my favorite episodes.
Laverne's Pies, Tires Fixed also.
One of my favorite episodes is when Michael like goes walkabout because Jim leaves him at the gas station. And so Holly is on like her vision quest and knows exactly where he's going.
Yes. Oh, because they're so perfect for each other.
Yep. Oh, Office my gosh. Olympics.
Office Olympics.
Oh, yeah. It's like
great.
Season one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great episode.
Flonkerton.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. See, that's the thing about The Office.
I'm not going to make it to December this year. I'm going to have to start it over.
Yeah. I'm probably just going to go on and start our watch through of it now that I can. I will in August when we're done with Spamalot, I guess. Won't do it before then. But I can't think of another television show that ran that long that I can just be like, hey, that's my favorite. Hey, that's my favorite. Hey, that's my favorite. Hey, that's my favorite.
I'm that way with How I Met Your Mother, though, and it ran 9 seasons as well.
Well, I'm kind of that way about Seinfeld, but with Seinfeld, it ends up being like, oh, you liked 2 storylines in 1 episode. You just have forgotten about it. So you really like a handful of episodes. Yeah. But with The Office, it's like, oh, man, that whole season was good, and you can watch the episodes individually, and it'd still be funny.
Well, and there's clips and moments that, you know, I can get on YouTube and watch, like,
almost.
Hey, is it Jam's time? No.
I just cut you off. Just forget you.
With when Jim pranks Dwight, he goes to the dentist, and so he arranges for his Asian friend Steve to go to the office and pretend to be him.
That's one of the best.
The guy who would play Kim Jong-un in the interview.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like, hey, way to go, Dwight. Thanks for not seeing color.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. They had the family photos remade. Yeah. Oh, it's just a freaking mess.
It would be that. It would be what was it? When they convinced Dwight that the next day is actually Saturday.
Yeah. Right. He comes running in.
Like, he shows up on Friday, yes. The day of performance reviews, yes. Late for the first time.
Yes.
It's Friday!
It's the best. Oh, my gosh.
You know, and you had the one, too, where Dwight is wanting to, you know, basically overthrow Michael, right? So he arranges the meeting with
David Wallace.
With Jan.
Jan. And he's like, stop it. Whatever, like it's at the discount mall or whatever.
So he told Michael he was going to the dentist. That's what made me think of. You said dentist, so he told Michael that's where he went.
Yeah.
So when he gets back, Michael's in on it now. I mean, or on to him now, and he knows.
Because Jan,
so
Jan called him.
He asks him, hey, Dwight, how'd it go? How'd the dentist go? That's good. You want some M&Ms? So he gives some M&Ms. He's crunching on them, chewing them. He goes, what's your dentist name, Dwight? Crentist.
Your dentist name is Crentist?
He goes, yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, those M&M's good? He goes, so good.
So good.
So good.
Crentist. Your dentist name is Crentist.
Your dentist name is Crentist?
Crentist. That's the great thing about Dwight Schrute. He can't lie. And when he tries to lie, he's just blank. He's just, you can always... You can see. Do you know any Dwight Schrutes personally in your lives? You don't have to tell them by name, but if you have any funny personal Dwight stories,
I don't. I don't know anybody that's like Dwight. I don't think anybody's like Dwight.
I don't think so. And if they're not, then we're all better for it. All right. Well, hold on. I needed to
tell me it didn't stop recording.
No, it didn't. We made it through this one. Hold on.
Yay.
Fingers crossed. Hold on. I was looking for the click. James, do the typing sound. All right, so there you go. If you want to tell us your favorite episode of The Office or join along in the conversation with us, you can do it over at Jugheads Incorporated on Facebook. That's a
clickety clack.
It's a great place to do it, and that's usually where you tell me how wrong and stupid I am.
You're wrong and you're stupid,
and that's fine. Tim Murphy, when you hear this in 8 months after your child is born, our long distance podcast can occasionally be about that.
I got words with him calling us out on saying that we're stupid about our stuff. And you shut up, Tim Murphy.
Yes, but did you see the new podcast?
Yeah, I saw the Tim Murphy's right about everything.
Yes, here it is. Let me just pull up that image that I found just randomly on the internet. I don't know who would have done that. For
what, he got a sucker stuck up his nose?
No, that's where Tim, I have no idea how I know this, just image on the internet. No, for Tim's job, he had to go get his nose waxed. And they videoed it.
Really?
Yes. And
he's on the radio. How do you see that?
Well, because they Facebook Lived it. So I took a screen grab of it and made it his podcast cover art. Tim Murphy was right about S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else. So just if any of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people happen to be in an important role in the Infinity War movies, I'll blog it, and Tim and I will do that podcast. But that won't happen because Tim's wrong.
He'll never listen.
He won't. All right. Is your jam Logan not being here?
No.
You think he's at home on his pleather couch?
No.
With his one plug?
His one plug and his skid marks.
Bring some Lysol wipes.
James, what's your jam? We'll go in reverse order.
Matt Wyatt's here.
Yeah, that's a good jam. Yeah, fist bump.
And this awesome souvenirs that I have.
That's going to be mine, too.
Like, that's my jam. It's awesome.
The best gifts of all time. Ian, what's your jam of the week, sir?
I picked up Inside on Xbox this week. Played a little bit of it. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Your
jam should be that Matt Wyatt's here.
Yeah, that's your jam, Ian. No. You idiot.
Continue your jam.
I mean, I can't that say no because he's right here next to me.
You have.
I like have Matt. I like his show. Don't put me on the spot like that.
You're totally on the spot.
So anyways.
Isn't it great? This is so perfect for The Office episode. How awkward this is
like
right
now. I kind of respect him even though.
We should have done who we would all be from The Office. That's what we should have done.
I mean, Matt does not want to know the trash that I used to shout about him when he...
That's fine. We already told him before you got here.
My wife was the same way. She's Ole Miss. She's her mother.
Hey, Matt, it's okay. I used to sing your praises.
He married into your weird...
Yeah.
Your weird culture.
I sleep every night with someone who used to curse me every time we played.
I mean, that's just kind of the way it was. So.
And that is a testament to marriage, folks.
There it is.
There it is. That's what it does for you.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Anyway, what's your jam? Something
inside.
About
Matt Wyatt's go buy here. That Yay. Game. It's fun.
Is it and then Matt Wyatt's here.
And then Matt Wyatt's here.
Is it available on the Nintendo Switch? Moving right along, Matt, what's your jam? No.
My jam is that Logan isn't here.
Oh!
Yes.
I don't mean that. Logan, if you're listening.
He's listening.
I'm really disappointed.
Don't worry.
Genuinely
he's taking notes.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wish Logan had been here. No, my jam is that I got to sit in on, live and in person, my favorite podcast.
Boom!
For the second time.
His
For the
favorite. Second time. Well, we sat in with him kind of last
time. Well, yeah,
time,
but it was still our episode.
Yeah, and an open invitation, by the way. If you guys ever that way in need
we'll
a place,
it.
I've got a key.
Cool.
We moved.
You know, right.
Feel free. Come on in and use our stuff.
Cool. My jam is Matt Wyatt and the amazing podcast gifts. I mean, if seriously, all of you people that we've led on our show a billion times.
Yeah, Dan Mars, Eric Klunk.
You owe us, folks. I don't know. What's the equivalency of like a back gift? I feel like that's something that's probably
they
been
can
on
buy
the
me a Nintendo Switch game.
Did you get Mario Kart yet?
I haven't gotten it yet. No.
We'll hook you up with Mario Kart.
I feel really bad for not making Matt my original.
No, you don't.
Oh, don't you
because
worry
I'm like
about
the only
that.
One now.
He's used to people of your kind.
Let me go back.
Not liking
him. No, let me go back. My jam of the week now is that Logan is not here.
That's what did it. That's why.
That's like, you got to steal Matt's jam. Yeah. Huh?
No. That's
even.
He's come over to the Matt side.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah,
now.
Matt Wyatt. Before we get out of here, who wins the SEC West in the 2017-18 football season this year?
I think it will be Auburn. In 2017-18,
folks, this is the last time Matt Wyatt will appear on Justin. No, really, why?
They are loaded on offense.
They really are.
Their quarterback that they had transferred in there. His name is Jarrett Stidham. He came from Baylor, and he is the real deal.
So we're
and
not talking about the Netflix quarterback.
No.
What happened to him? What's his story now?
Well, like most Auburn players, he's probably in jail now.
Yeah. Well, he is actually still on the team. Yeah. He just moved to receiver.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So he can run.
They're fast.
So I think it's their time, and I think
– it may be. They're due one.
Yeah, they're due one. Yeah. I think if it's not Auburn, it'll be Alabama.
Nah, I don't know.
It's a player's choice this year. I think everybody's down a little bit. I don't think anybody's doing a big, super huge upturn.
We are. Yeah. Our defense is off. It's an off year for defense. It doesn't really matter. And we unfortunately are not going to score more points on offense than we are on defense. Because of our quarterback situation, the best quarterback on the team sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to because of Jalen Hurts. He's going to have to.
Tua Tagovailoa.
He has a freaking arm on him.
He's great.
That'll be an easier name to pronounce. Who plays in the SEC championship?
Okay, so if it's Auburn from the West.
Let's just say it's Auburn. We'll go with Auburn.
Okay, let's say it's Auburn from the West. I'm going to say it's Georgia from the East.
Good.
Yeah, because quarterback's a year older.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly talented. 6'5", 230.
Kirby Smart,
man. That'd be a big.
And they've got two running backs coming back, both Chubb and Eason.
Yeah.
Not Eason, but Sony Michel at Georgia. And Kirby Smart, this will be the year that he gets it done.
That'd be a big win for Kirby Smart.
Who's
get back to an SEC championship.
He'll have to beat
game.
Jim McElwain to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him beating Butch Jones. Is there a coach in the SEC who is no longer part of the SEC at the end of the season?
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have, really?
Yeah.
They have the that school, I mean, again,
it's not an SEC school.
Let me just tell you, and they have so much money, and their facilities, you ought to see it. It's incredible.
I've been to College Station. It's impressive.
And I've seen your photos from there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it is nice.
And the photos don't even really do it justice.
Right. I mean,
if you ever get a chance to go, it's just in another world. Their stadium, everything. They have every advantage. They're in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, they're signing the players. They're just not getting it done on the field.
It's going to be a Les Miles situation.
That's it. They're underachieving every year, every year, every year, every year. And so because they're – unlike Texas, because they're in the SEC, they win 8 or 9 games this year, which is – that's what will happen.
They'll
cut him loose. And then what will happen is everybody will say, oh, well, they're going to go get Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
But history has shown you that they're not – he's not leaving state for another
SEC school.
He'll – if he ever does, it'll be, you know, Big Ten, something like that.
Yeah, that's probably what will happen. Manziel really bailed Kevin Sumlin out.
He really did. That's a great point.
He really did.
He really did.
And they've just not been able to repeat that success, which is, I mean, it's great to have them in the conference, but
yes, if you ever get a chance to see Texas A&M's band perform at halftime, you've got to see it if you can.
Really,
you know, whether, if it's and like I want to say maybe. The first couple of times they came to Oxford, they brought their full band.
They did, yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know if they do that for other away games, but if it's a home game, because they're marching and the way they crisscross in these lines of 4 and 8 and everything at the middle of the field, I mean, like speed walking now, playing and crisscrossing in tight quarters, you don't see anything like it. And last or 2 years ago, we were over there and a trumpet player, she got in the middle of the melee crossing at midfield and got hit and spun and fell.
Oh, my gosh.
And what was so impressive is
everybody just walked right over.
Well, they just keep going.
She's dead now.
And she pops up, and she's back in line and gone and back in formation really quickly.
Yeah, they got their
their
military guys all down in front doing like little things. Yeah. It's actually impressive.
Horse-drawn buggies going around the
field. I think people forget the military aspect of Texas A&M. That's
agriculture and military.
Yeah, and you don't see it when you watch them on TV because it's all pregame stuff.
Yeah. Interesting. Does Clemson make it back to the college football playoffs this year?
No,
not a chance.
Deshaun Watson, don't believe everything you heard from those NFL people about, you know, he was the third best, and I know they didn't take him first.
Yeah.
He was the best quarterback in the draft. He was the best quarterback in college football.
Absolutely.
And they'll find that out this year.
Yeah, welcome to Dak Prescott 2.0.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good
point.
Who are the saddest fans in the SEC right now?
Ole Miss fans.
Yeah.
Is it? It's not LSU fans?
I don't think it's LSU fans. And here's why.
LSU has corn dogs.
Well, and they have their corn dog in chief.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
It may be LSU next year. Let's see how it goes for Ed Orgeron.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, it's new.
Yeah.
The honeymoon is still going on.
And they love Coach O.
And they've got, we're sitting here in early May, and LSU already has 16 commitments in their next signing class. The next closest in the SEC is Mississippi State with 9. Mm-hmm.
That dude can recruit.
And they do it all early. So they're honeymooning right now with Ed Orgeron. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say Ole Miss is just because, you know, they're coming off the losing season, lost the Egg Bowl the way they did, and then they've got the whole NCAA thing hanging over their head. So everybody's, for Ole Miss fans, it's not necessarily looking forward to what's coming. They're kind of like dreading what's coming.
Yeah, it's kind of a test season to see kind of do we make it out of this, or is this going to be
Ole Miss football?
Is this going to be the next 10 years for us?
Look, I know it's the thing to do a lot of times for other media and fans of other schools when they talk about Ole Miss is really kind of kick them while they're down. I would say this. I mean, look at other schools, USC, Alabama. Everybody comes back from NCAA stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ole Miss did it. Ole Miss got hammered as bad as anybody's ever gotten hammered in 94.
Yep.
Eventually, you come back. It's not like they kill your program.
No.
In 2007, now Josh didn't want to hear this, but in 2007, the NCAA, they popped them for the textbook thing.
Yep.
They had athletes that would go and get a textbook. They'd go back and then sell. They'd get two of them instead of one, and they'd sell one of them to a lawyer's daughter for $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000.
Yeah.
So that's their cash. So they called them, they popped them. And the NCAA put out a statement in 2007 that said, University of Alabama has a major infractions history unmatched by any other member institution.
Yep.
And then what happened? About 3 years later, they win the national championship. Yeah. So, you know, it's, you can recover.
Yeah.
You really can. It's bad now, but look, it doesn't last forever.
Maybe with a different head coach, but you'll get there.
I think it's coming to that. I don't, if 80%.
Yeah,
I think what has been alleged turns out to be true.
Yeah,
you look in, and that, this is nowhere near like a Joe Paterno situation or anything. But the idea of it's under your watch, you can't.
Sure,
you can't claim you walked out of the room.
No.
During all of these conversations,
they have made major mistakes at every turn of this. The way they've handled it, and here's one of them. You can't sit there at a table with the chancellor, the coach, and the AD. And have a video where you tell the public, we agree on these things that have been alleged against us. These 15 men. You can't say, we agree that these things happened. And then at the same time go,
didn't happen.
This guy monitored our program the way he's supposed to.
Yeah, no.
You can't do both.
No.
What you got to do is, if you're going to say, hey, he monitored it the way he's supposed to, then you have to sit up and go, we don't agree with all this.
Yeah. You can't take it. You just can't. You can't just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're doing. Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. So it's going to be a rough. It's going to be a rough next season. I think for the SEC in general, though.
We've had.
I don't think the SEC wins the national championship this year.
No, who does? Who do you think does?
Who?
That's a tough one right now.
Ooh. Who wins the
Florida Atlantic? Lane Kiffin.
It ain't gonna be Kiffin.
It's not gonna be Lane.
Forget it. It won't be Lane.
No, it won't be.
Florida Atlantic will be in the SEC in about 5 years.
No, it won't be. No.
I'm gonna say that there will be a surprise team in the national championship game. It'll be USC.
That's true. They're looking good at the end of the season.
Remember the name Sam Darnold. He is their quarterback at USC, and he may win the Heisman this year.
Nice.
So I might have them in it. Gosh, I don't know who else, though. Florida State? Florida State could be a legit national title contender this year.
We got to play them first. Mm-hmm. That's probably loss number one, to be really honest.
Yeah.
They'll kill you in the fourth quarter.
You know that from experience. You know, Michigan, you can't ever tell what Harbaugh is going to do. And, you know, I mean, they're just, it's, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting time in college football. My wife actually tweeted today, I miss football. And,
is that right?
Yeah. And I told her, I was like, you know, what? That's very timely. You know, Matt's coming to be on the podcast tonight. It's about that time.
Well, it also feels like football weather the last 3 days.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
It felt like, you know, late October, early November the last couple of days.
Yeah, it tended to be about that time to where I start blocking people on Facebook.
Yeah. Unblocking them when it's over.
That's part of it. Hate
taking pictures of the temperature gauge in your car and post, look at this. Yeah, we know it's hot.
Oh, I'm talking about football.
He's talking about football. Oh, football. It gets ugly. Yeah,
like, you know, every time I've ever unfriended you is because of the football. And that's been twice.
Yeah. That'll about do it for this week's episode of the Just Us Geeks podcast.
I unfriend you.
Thanks.
I don't know any of this works.
Special thanks to Matt Wyatt for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
And being the best guest
my
of all
pleasure.
Time.
No,
with
man.
The most amazing, the most amazing guest. Make sure you keep checking out JusticeGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek. From tech to Transformers, TV music, news, reviews, and more. Hadn't said this in so long, about forgot what it is. Facebook.com/JustUsGeeks, Twitter and Instagram at JustUsGeeks, and go leave us a review over on the iTunes. And Matt, where can people find you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm Radio Wyatt on Twitter, Radio Wyatt on Instagram, and /Radio Wyatt on Facebook.
Nice. Nice. All right, so we got to eventually use this connection we have to the Mississippi State football program.
Yeah.
What we should do is we should figure out a way to, like, Hank Hill a Mississippi State game where, like, if the Egg Bowl is at Oxford, we'll use our connection with Matt to get into the game, to sneak into an old, like, Archie Manning's booth. Hugh Freeze goes down. They call Archie to make the play. And we know that means Ole Miss will still win.
I don't want to watch Ole Miss win.
Yeah, that's probably bad. We'll have to use that connection.
I like this idea. Let's go with
it. Ian says go with it.
Yeah.
Hey, Logan, what do you think about football? Funny, Logan worked for Lee Tiffin.
Did he really?
Yes.
Tiffin Motorhomes.
Yeah, he did. He's probably going to get mad that I said that.
Yeah.
Miss you, Logan. Wish you were here.
We do wish Logan was here.
Yeah. I do.
He would have liked the gifts, I think. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe he would have.
I brought him a special gift. It's one sheet of Dunder Mifflin paper. There it is. There it is, Logan.
There it is. And now it's on fire. You don't get it. We're going to draw on it now.
We're going to make a paper airplane out of it.
Some
and do
kid wrote
Olympics.
Their name on it, and now Pam's got to go all the way back to the office and get another
piece.
Just
get the one sheet. It's not a sign-in sheet.
No.
Oh, man.
It's a blank sheet of paper to represent your future and your dreams.
That's it.
It's all blank.
That's nothing.
That's it. You couldn't, I couldn't
nothing.
Bring. Nope, just one blank sheet
just
of paper.
Just one.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Thanks for listening, idiots. Faces that I know have that same familiar glow. I think I must have known it.